October 15, 1947, George A. Palmer interviewing.
This is William A. Plow, Roosevelt Estate.
Mr. Plow, when did you first come out to work for President Roosevelt's father?
I came in November 3rd, 1897.
Where did you work before you came out to work at the Roosevelt Estate?
I worked at Mrs. George Beck, just outside of Poughkeepsie. Superintendent there was Mr. Gindra.
I understand that this position you have at the Roosevelt home was the second one that you've ever had in all your life.
This is the second job that I ever had in my life.
Mr. Plow, how did you happen to come out to work for Mr. James Roosevelt?
Well, I was kind of looking for a place because I thought the other places would soon give out, you know. And then I heard of this place, and we came up and looked it over and spoke to Mr. and Mrs. Roosevelt, and they decided to give me a trial.
Were you married at that time?
Yes, I was married 3 years.
3 years?
Well, yeah, close.
Did Mrs. Plow come up with you?
She came up with me when we interviewed Mrs. Roosevelt, Mr. and Mrs. Roosevelt.
How soon did you come up to work after you had talked with Mr. and Mrs. Roosevelt?
Well, I started to work, I came a few days before the 3rd. I started to work on the 3rd of November.
On the 3rd of November, that's
1897.
Mr. Plow, could you describe Mr. James Roosevelt to us as you remember him in 1897?
Well, all I can think about him at the present time is that he's a very fine man, and that he's very stern. He interviewed us very, very strongly before he hired us, and I find him a man that is very strong in whatever he wants to say or whatever to do. The best thing for us to do is go right through it, whatever he wanted to do for us.
Right. Was he as big a man as...
No, he wasn't, but he's quite stout.
Very stout, but not as tall.
Not as tall.
Right. How do you remember Mrs. James Roosevelt from that early association?
Well...
That is, her appearance... Her manners.
Manners
of,
are very, very fine.
1900.
Yeah. Of 1900.
That is, yes, when you first knew her.
Well, her appearance is, we thought was very good, and she's, the way she spoke to us and everything, we thought that it's going to be a very fine place to try out. And she seemed to be well pleased with us, and she decided to, for us to start on to work on the 3rd of November. They were away at the time, and when we came up here, but they came home a couple of days after, because they seemed to be well pleased, and they fixed the house and everything up for us, and so we're very comfortable, and we liked them both in every way. We can't say a word against them.
How old was the house in which you moved and in which you now live?
Well, to tell you the age of the house, I couldn't do that.
You don't remember anyone commenting on it?
No. It's a very old house, though. I should judge it's practically putting her 100 years old.
Right. Coming back to the big house, can you describe the appearance of the big house as it was in 1900? That was before it was remodeled.
Yeah, that's on the outside.
That's on the outside.
The house was a frame house, dwelling house, piazza putting there all around it, except the north side. And they had a special color of green and red painted.
That's the main part of the house was green, the trim.
And the trim was red.
Trim was red.
Yeah.
Is that red about the same color, was that red about the same color as the red on Mrs. J.R. Roosevelt's house now?
Well, close to it.
Close to
it's
it.
It's very bright red. It's not bright, but it wasn't very dark, but it was a very beautiful red.
Right. Did the folks use the piazza around the house very much when they were here?
Very much, especially in summer. They'd sit out there and back on the south side where the piazza was, and they liked it very much. And
what time in the spring of the year would Mr. and Mrs. Roosevelt come up here to the farm from New York City?
Well, they were here greater part of the winter at times.
Right.
And if they were in New York City at the time, well, they generally come up, they generally come up in April, you know, it'd be.
Then remain here through the, summer.
They remain till June, probably put there the 1st of July. And then they always took a trip to Campobello, unless they went abroad. Some years they went abroad and spent a few months across.
I see. Now coming back to the house again, what do you remember of its appearance inside around 1900?
Well, as far as the appearance on the 1900, this is. As far as the appearance of the house inside, the rooms is very comfortable, and the dining room is about the same, and the chink room. The other rooms, the downstairs, were changed, but the upper part was practically the same, except the new wing parts. There's very little change made in the upper part. Now, on the third story, there's just really changes made in the attic, but the rooms is about the same thing as it was in 1900.
I believe from what I've read that much of the furniture that is in the house now was here around 1900.
The most of the furniture was here. There's very little new furniture bought, as far as I know. Some furniture are exchanged for another, and this way, to some of the relatives, you know, would probably have a piece or two, you know, and send up or something like that. Furniture.
That's right.
Right. Especially when anyone died, you know, if there's anything there they like, why they would. They'd all get it, you know. Take that, you know, if they needed it, you know. They wouldn't do it if they didn't.
All right, let's swing from the house over to your work when you came here. How many men did you have working under you when you came up here in 1897?
I had three men.
Three men?
Besides myself.
Right. Do you remember who they were?
Yes. John Schull.
That's S-C-H-U-L?
S-C-H-O-L-L.
Right.
Ado Schull.
Right. Maybe you'll think of the other one later. When did Mr. Van Curen come with you?
He came in a couple of years after I came. I think it was 1899, if I'm not mistaken. I wouldn't give you the right date just now.
How many acres of farmland do you remember having to farm 1898, 1900,
At that time when I came here.
What were your immediate duties when you came, Mr. Plow?
My duties was here, right in the garden, greenhouse, and all around the place. But the farm was on a separate head.
Under a separate farm.
Yeah, they
manager.
Had a farmer then, and that's Mr. Irving was the first one.
Mr. Irving, I-R-V-I-N-G.
Then Mr. Edgar.
Mr. Edgar.
And several others that come after that. Gilbert Logan.
Gilbert Logan?
Yeah.
When did you take over the management of the farm part of the place?
Well, I wouldn't give you the exact date now.
Well, that's all right.
Yeah. But around the 20 years, I think, now since I...
About 20 years. In other words, about 1920 on, You were managing the farm on the other side as well as the house and the greenhouse and gardens here.
I wouldn't say that's the exact
thing. All right. No. It's all right. What buildings did you have here in 1897 with which to maintain the garden and the house and so on?
To maintain the garden. That doesn't include your coach stable.
Well, what buildings were there here that you were taking care of?
Yeah, the garage.
The garage? The
coach stable, but they had a coachman, but we had all outside of that. And just to have the ice houses, take care of them, the sheds.
I believe the greenhouse in which we're...
The greenhouse is, at that time, this is before...
The greenhouse in which we're sitting now was built after you came. Was the old greenhouse as big as
the... The old greenhouse is out in front here in the garden. There's a grapery and a rose house.
A grapery and a rose house.
And there's a rose pit on this side is down in the ground.
That's where you made cuttings?
No, they had these climbing roses and had some other things in there, whatever we could put in.
To store over the winter,
yeah.
To keep them from freezing.
Well, not so much. We used to have some of the nicest marchineal roses you ever laid eyes on in that house during the winter. That was growing, kept heat on, going right through it.
In other words, it was a kind of half basement alongside the regular greenhouse, but had glass over it.
Well, you can't call it that. It's a regular rose pit that we call where it's dug out and the rose house built over it.
I see.
Yeah.
I think I see.
Yeah.
Not for sure.
You had to go down three or four steps on the one end, and then we used to have sheds there, the tools and everything. And the heat was about the same.
Was the size of that old greenhouse larger or smaller than the one we're in right now?
Smaller.
It was smaller.
Now, this house here was put up in 1907.
1907.
And Mitchell, Charlie Mitchell of Poughkeepsie.
Mitchell of Poughkeepsie.
It cost around $3,700 to put up.
In 1907.
Yeah. Of course, then we done away with the old houses, and done away with the grapery.
What is a grapery, Mr. Plow?
Grapery is the vines you grow up there and grow grapes.
In other words, it would be just a frame.
The frame. And
on the outside of the greenhouse?
Yeah, it's a regular greenhouse, and the vines would be planted in front, and then they run up to the top of the greenhouse.
That's on the inside, the grapes were on the inside of the glass,
and we used to thin them out, and even thin the grapes out, you know, cut half the grapes away so to make them large.
You were able to grow grapes all during the winter?
Yes.
Have them for the house.
For the house.
For Christmas.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving.
Then we had a shelf in the back of the grapery. Up on top, we used to grow strawberries.
You grew strawberries during the winter months.
Yeah. That's all.